If you have your Bible, turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Last week we heard the bad news. We said the theme of the epistle to the church at Rome is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Glad tidings of great joy. God's gospel. And we argued that in order to see how bright the light of the good news shines, we have to understand it against the darkness of our sinfulness as sinners who fall prey to sin, self, and Satan daily. The intent was not to absolutely destroy you, but to humble you before the gloriousness of God and what He has done for people like you and me from every tribe, tongue, and nation throughout the history of redemption. So our intent, as it is always when we open the Word of God, I remind you, is that God's Word would truly tear us down, but not leave us there to wallow in the bad news, but by His grace and the work of the Spirit in us through the proclamation of the Word, build us up and restore us. Amen. So as we continue this morning, we will consider verses 1 through 7 from Romans chapter 1. As is our prayer, we again hope that God does indeed tear us down as He builds us up by that same grace. As is our custom, please stand with me as we read God's Word. I remind you that what is being read is His Word. Let's pray and ask Him to bless the reading of it to us. Our Father and our God, again, this is Your Word, holy, inspired, inerrant, infallible. I pray our only rule of faith and practice, make us students of Your Word. Grant that we would grow and become more like Christ. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to receive with joy what You've done for us from eternity past through Your Son, as You've left the Spirit here to dwell in our midst and in our hearts. Forgive the one who speaks. His sins are many. In Christ's name, amen. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle set apart for the gospel of God, which He promised beforehand through His prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning His Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by His resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of His name among the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God add the blessing of the reading of His Word to us. Amen. Please be seated. I want you to picture the scene. It's a beautiful scene, actually. Saul of Tarsus breathing out threats and murder against the church, suddenly blinded by the glory of the risen Christ on the Damascus Road. The persecutor is transformed into the apostle. The persecutor is transformed into the apostle. And he begins really his majestic letter to the Romans with these humble yet powerful words: Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Now, these verses are far more than an introduction. We need to understand that. They declare how the sovereign God of the covenant of grace claims sinners, renames them, redeems them, and consecrates them for the proclamation of the gospel. Let me say that again. These words are far more than introductory. They set forth a foundational Christian truth that we must stand firm upon today, I believe, more than ever. That indeed they declare the sovereign God of the covenant of grace that claims sinners, that renames sinners, that redeems sinners, and consecrates them for the proclamation of the gospel that fulfills truly every promise of the old covenant to the new in Christ Jesus. Beloved, I believe that Johnny Mac, as Dr. Sproul used to call them, and there are a lot of saints who have gone to glory that have a tremendous influence on me and my ministry, and John MacArthur is one of them. I believe he was right that when he argued, we can't understand the book of Romans without understanding Paul. We can't understand what Paul intended under the inspiration of what God intended through Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the epistle to the church at Rome without understanding truly who Paul is. Paul, the man whose life was utterly transformed by the gospel. Sproul reminds us that Paul writes here not as a volunteer, but as one who belongs completely to his master. And we need to ask that God would open our hearts even today to his word. Here's your proposition. It's a lengthy one, Carol, I'm sorry. But here it is. The sovereign God of the covenant claims his people as bond slaves, calls them effectually, and sets them apart for the gospel of his Son. The sovereign God of the covenant claims his people as bond slaves, calls them effectually, and sets them apart for the gospel of his Son. Now listen, so that we might live under Christ's lordship for the advancement of his kingdom. If any of you need that after the sermon, check with Carol. But let me read it to you in its entirety because I want it to sink in. It's important. The sovereign God of the covenant, this is what I'm arguing today. The sovereign God of the covenant claims his people as bond slaves. He calls them effectually. And he sets them apart for the gospel of his Son. And he does this so that we might live under Christ's lordship. For what? The advancement of his kingdom. Follow me? Just a little bit? Now, I want us to unpack that this morning because I believe this is our highest joy and greatest privilege in the covenant of grace. It should be our highest joy, and we should see it as a tremendous honor, a privilege in the covenant of grace. If you're looking at your text, I love how the epistle begins. It begins with a simple name. A simple name. Paul. Again, we're saying that in order to understand the epistle to the church at Rome, we need to understand who Paul was. And it begins with his name, Paul. Paul, as we know, was renamed and reclaimed by sovereign grace. Don't ever forget that. As we begin to embark on our exegesis of this great epistle that has impacted and influenced the church for centuries, we need to understand that Paul, who writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, who delivers us the word of God breathed out, is one who has been renamed and reclaimed by that sovereign grace. Paul does not begin with titles. He doesn't begin with credentials. He begins with a simple new name. It's a beautiful thing when we stop and pause and think about it. Think about this. The former proud Pharisee Saul is now just Paul. The former proud, educated man of power and influence is now just Paul. The one who later gives his resume, and it's an impressive resume. We must never forget that. It's somewhat of an impressive resume as far as worldly standards. Simply reveals himself to be Paul. Beloved, never take a resume before the triune God. Never take your resume before the triune God. Remember when we studied the Sermon on the Mount and we said, many of you will come, and did we not do this, and did we not cast out demons, and didn't we feed the poor? And Jesus said to them, remember it, it's a frightening phrase, get away from me, I never knew you. Never, beloved, take your resume before the triune God. I would beseech you, as Paul does here, take your name. Wade, Ava, Cliff. Take your name. Just you. Tom, Peggy. There's something beautiful in how this epistle starts. And in our rush to study Scripture, we often overlook things like this. Paul doesn't set forth his credentials. There's one little word to describe himself, Paul. And what he's saying is so powerful. I'm Paul, the one remade by grace alone. Think about that. Now, in covenant theology, I think this clearly echoes God's pattern throughout the history of redemption. Abram becomes who? Abraham. Jacob to Israel. You see, God sovereignly reclaims and renames his own for his purposes. And if you're in Christ Jesus today, that is, if you've confessed your sin, repented of your sin, and placed your faith and trust in Christ alone, not in you, not in your works, not in your abilities, not in your wisdom, but in him and him alone, you have been renamed and reclaimed. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourself. You see, we can never understand Romans if we don't understand Paul. Because his identity, I believe, shouts that he's not his own. He belongs to another. He's been reclaimed, renamed, and owned now by another. That's the question today, isn't it? Have you been renamed? Have you been reclaimed? And are you owned by another? Look how Paul goes on to describe himself. He describes himself as a servant of Christ Jesus. Now the Greek word here, and all of you know this, is the word doulos, which doesn't mean a hired servant. It doesn't mean a hired servant who can leave anytime he wants to or she wants to at their own will. That's not what is employed here. This is not a hired servant who insists that we only have a 4-day work week, and while I'm at work, I'm only going to work actually 3 hours, like so many today, right? That's not what's going on here at all. What the word doulos means, it means slave. In other words, it's one who has been purchased and now belongs entirely to his master. Not one who comes and goes as he pleases, but one who has been purchased. And once he was purchased, he became the possession of his master. So in other words, what Paul, who has been renamed and reclaimed, is saying, I belong to Christ. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus. Now it puzzles me and it troubles me, and those of you who know me well know that I mean nothing ill by this, but we cannot be afraid to speak in the context of the church as the people of God of slavery. We are slaves. We are slaves. You are a slave. Now, I know historically that has become distorted and a no-no word and a bad thing and all those kinds of things, and rightfully so. Do not misunderstand me. However, we as believers need to see ourselves in that very light to understand ourselves and the grace of God. Because Scripture is clear, we are indeed slaves. Paul says, I am a slave to Christ. I belong to Christ. Do you say that this morning? Furthermore, when we talk about slaves, we talk about masters. Do you ever call in prayer the triune God master? I think it's one of the most powerful, beautiful ways to address the triune God. Master. Master. See, we see it as a swear word, don't we? It's a bad thing. Master. But the triune God is indeed the master of all creation. We must understand that if God, the triune God himself, desires, it's what? All over. We all seek, you know, to read the signs. What's happening in Israel? What's happening in Iran? What's happening? Are the end times here? What's going on? Blah, blah, blah. Are we really going to get the mark of the beast and we're going to cryptocurrency and you're going to get a little bug in your hand to pay? Well, you already got a little bug in your hand, people. It's called your phone. I hate to tell you, it's already happened. Get over it. It's your phone or your wrist. You've already been marked. So if you're waiting for the mark of the beast, throw your phone out. You've already received the mark of the beast. Nah, that's just, somebody should laugh a little bit. A little bit, maybe. But there is truth to what I'm saying, right? One of the conversations I love amongst us ourselves is this. Have you ever just had a conversation and the next thing you know on your phone, you're getting all these little ads for what you talked about? Duh. Really, guys? And just for the record, all your little safety things are just there to give you the appearance that you're safe. That's all they're there for. You are not safe. They give you the appearance that nobody's spying on you, Mike. This thing is a programming. The next conversation is what? AI. AI is another conversation we have. What about AI? What about robots? All this other stuff. You're already slaves to that. You know what a robot is now? And it frustrates me to death. The self-checkout line in a grocery store. It's just not talking to you yet. But the one at your gas pump does, doesn't it? Well, thank you for coming to Circle K. And then you can watch ESPN if you want. It already happened, guys. We should not view slavery in those terms within the context of our covenant Lord as bad things, because you are a slave. Let's move on. So Paul, renamed and reclaimed, he's a servant, a slave of Christ Jesus. He's owned by the Lord. Who are you owned by today? is also describes himself as one called to be an apostle. Here we see the effectual calling and apostolic authority of Paul. And that's what he's speaking of, God's sovereign effectual call, which is actually the same call that brings every believer from death to life. You can see that in Romans 8:30. Beloved, Paul didn't volunteer for service. Paul did not volunteer. Christ arrested him, if you will, and commissioned him. I know a little bit about being arrested and commissioned. He arrested him and he commissioned him as an apostle and granted him divine authority. You see, to be an apostle simply means to be commissioned to speak for who? The master. Think about this. In the ancient world, an apostle is really like an ambassador who could speak on behalf of the king. And the message that the ambassador would carry carried with it the same stamp of authority as the one who sent him, namely the king. Now let me ask you a question. In the ancient world, do you think an ambassador or an apostle, if you would ever change the message of the king who sent him? Do you think he would? Do you think he would say, king really didn't know what he was doing today. Let me tweak this message. Of course he wouldn't. Sorry. If he did, what would happen to him? Someone help me. I'm choking to death here. Huh? No, he wouldn't go well. He'd lose his head. Wouldn't he? Yes, he would. If the king sent his ambassador with a message to a person, and along the way he decided that the king didn't really know what he was talking about that day, he had bad pizza the night before and messed up the message, let me tweak it for him. I know a little bit better than he does. Let me fix this for him. I guarantee you, the minute he delivered the message that wasn't the king's, by the time he got back, his head would be off. The ancient world. Question to you is this. Why do we take that liberty with our king's message? Paul doesn't. Paul states clearly at the very beginning, I am his, I belong to him, I serve him, and this is his message alone. Amen? But far too often today, we take liberties with the message of our king, we tweak it and change it in order and call it Christian liberty, if you will, or argue that the king doesn't know what he's talking about. Paul does not do that at all. He was called to be apostle. He was commissioned by the king himself, and he carried the king's commission or message directly. Now, this is important because the early church wants to deny the authority of Paul. Many in the early church argued that Paul truly wasn't an apostle. You'll remember when they were adding apostles in Acts, they set the criteria for apostleship. And there's three, actually, right? They either had to live and work with Christ during his earthly ministry. Second was, see the risen Christ. Third is, and most importantly is, be called directly by Christ. You following me? That's the criteria the New Testament sets for the offices in the church. Understanding that an apostle, right, is not a teaching elder. I am not an apostle. Don't ever call me an apostle. That is not me. I am a messenger, an ambassador for Christ, just as you are, but there are only a certain amount of men set apart for apostleship, the office of apostle. And none of them are here today. Not a one. Because the church, beloved, is built on the teaching and preaching of the prophets and apostles. Amen? Guard that with your lives. Paul was an apostle commissioned by Christ. He doesn't meet the first two. He wasn't with Christ during his earthly ministry. He didn't see the risen Christ. But what I can tell you is this. Paul was directly called by who to service? Christ himself. He meets the most important one. Therefore, don't ever question Paul's authority. I hear modern day Christians argue again, well, Paul wrote so much of the New Testament, I'm not just following Paul. Right? Foolishness. Really, covenantally speaking, what Paul has been commissioned to do is advance God's promise to Abraham. Don't ever forget that. Paul was commissioned, hear me now, by God as an apostle to advance the promise God made to Abraham in the old covenant. It's a beautiful thing. Now, believe it or not, Paul says all this in four Greek words in your text. Do you see it? It's all there. In a name and what he does and who he is. The beauty of the depths of Scripture. Scripture is so, Spurgeon was right, Scripture is so shallow a baby can take a bath in it. And at the same time, a baby can understand it. And at the same time, an elephant can bathe in it. What a beautiful thing we see. Paul, renamed, reclaimed, a slave of Christ, set apart to be an apostle, or called to be an apostle. And more important, and additionally, four quickly, he tells us that he's been set apart for the gospel of God. He's consecrated, if you will, for covenant proclamation. Many would argue that Paul is not covenantal. I can't believe that. I can't even understand where they see that. Paul understood clearly that he was set apart. He was consecrated for covenant proclamation. Set apart really means, the original Greek really means consecrated or sanctified. Just like the Old Testament prophets and priests. In other words, Paul was segregated for one supreme task. Let me say that again. Paul was segregated for one supreme task, and that task was the gospel of God. Good news, beloved, that originates from God himself. Follow me here. It originates from God himself. The gospel is God's gospel, guys. Promised in the prophets. We see this throughout the old covenant. It's promised over and over again. It's centered on his son who fulfills what? The Davidic and Abrahamic covenants. Amen? Thanks. I have one covenantal theologian. You see, the gospel, beloved, is God's. And it's the good news from God. It's the only answer to humanity's bad news. The bad news of sin, guilt, and death, really. And what it reveals is the righteousness, God's righteousness. And it brings sinners, really, into the full blessing of the new covenant, the covenant of grace. So we need to understand Paul. Paul was renamed and reclaimed by sovereign grace. Paul was a servant, a slave of Christ. He's owned by the Lord. Paul was called to be an apostle, commissioned, effectually called and commissioned with the authority of the king. And he was set apart for the gospel of God. So what? What does that mean to us? My hope is that you would examine your own life today. Are you living as a true slave of Jesus Christ? Do you see the triune God? Do you cry? Do you pray in terms of that slavery that you are actually enslaved to if you're in Christ Jesus? Master. Is God master? Do you treat Christ merely as a consultant? Do you treat him as a consultant? You can ignore him at your convenience. You know, like your financial advisor, right? Well, I think you should do this with your funds and maybe move this money over here and that money over there. And I'm so thankful I don't have money because I don't have a financial advisor. I think they would drive me nuts telling me what to do with my money, right? Now you have the choice to either do what he says or what? Reject it. You know, no, I don't like that idea. That's not the case. When Christ becomes the Lord of your life, you are not, beloved, autonomous. You are not your own. Who is master of your life? Is it the triune God or is it you? Second thing is this. Every believer, you need to understand, is called and set apart. Scripture's clear. How is God consecrating you? How is God consecrating you for his gospel in your family? You've been called. In your workplace. How about even in your local church? You've been called, if you're in Christ Jesus, you've been set apart for service within his kingdom as he is now your master. What have you been set apart for? How have you been consecrated for his gospel, listen to me, in your family? Do you lead your household well? How about at work? Do people at work actually know you're a Christian? How about here at church? Now, thirdly, consider this. We're not our own. Like Paul, we exist to proclaim the covenant gospel that justifies sinners by faith alone. And it unites us to Christ You see, this is really the heart of Reformed theology, covenant Christianity, anything, however you want to view it, the scriptures. God sovereignly initiates, he owns, he equips, and then he deploys. That's what God does. He sovereignly initiates, meaning he changes you. Because here's the bad news again. Beloved, we are all slaves to something. You are either a slave to sin, Satan, and self, or you are a slave to Christ. There is no in between. It's not, you can't be neutral here. But hear me, you are a slave. The question this morning that's on the table is this. Who's your master? Paul's master was the Lord Jesus Christ. And the same sovereign Lord who claimed Saul claims sinners like you and me still today. Question is, will you bow your knee as a slave of Christ? Will you give yourself really with no reservation to the gospel of God? Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for claiming us in the covenant of grace. Make us, we pray, faithful slaves of Christ Jesus who have been set apart for your gospel, that your kingdom might truly advance. And that your glory be displayed in all the earth. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.